Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
If you want a nutshell of American history for the last 18 months, it's this.
Really excited about this movie. And,
I can understand a little bit, but I don't think they should make it go so far-fetched as to cancel the fashion.
We are not condoning Mr. Roethlisberger's actions.
Oh, it's big.
Oh, my Lord.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and through the looking glass, we take you to find it every night. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Still to come, Larry King reportedly didn't have a prenup. How about that? Whatever. Plus, padded bikinis for seven-year-olds. Bobby Dooley will be joining us next hour to discuss her son pursuing a role in Kick-Ass 2. Today was tax day, and so I'm supposed to believe that because today is tax day, I'm just all agog about what the Tea Party's doing. Well, no, I'm not. Neither are you. You know about the Tea Party. You know what they're about. You may be a member of the Tea Party. You may not like them. You may think that they're interesting. You may think they're boring. You may think they have a point. You may think they don't have a point. You may like them. You may dislike them. You may not think about them. The one thing you're thinking about today, taxes. Did you get them mailed off in time? Did you get an extension? Did you pay your corporate taxes? Did you pay your individual taxes? Did you have any kind of capital gains to pay? Did you have any inheritance tax to pay? Are you going to get penalized? Are you going to get a return? How's everything, you know, hanging, baby? How's everything working out for you in this, the first, I guess the second actual tax day of the Obama administration? I suspect that really what's hanging us up more than anything else is this recession we're living with. And hey, it's going to be with us for as long as it's going to be with us. I can't tell you how long it's going to be with us. And, you know, if you really want to get down to it, I mean, do you get hung up on a lot of the stuff? See, people are saying that what Obama's doing, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, Obama is just doing what every other president would have had it done.
Yeah, what about Bush did the same thing? See, you know, during the, you guys are right, I agree with you. During the pre-show, I said, when you get to be a president, you're no longer really much of an ideologue if you're any kind of a president, because you got to deal with problems. So they jumped all over Bush when he approved of the TARP. And even Bush said, I'm going against my fundamental principles. Well, they can't be that fundamental if you see a situation whereby you must act or something bad is going to happen. Or if people are telling you, this is going to be the result if you don't do the following things. And one of the things we need to do is we need to have ready cash for these banks, because we don't know how much they're going to go into the hole as a result of these toxic assets. Now, I am here to tell you, and I don't have any fear of anybody telling me I'm wrong. I don't have any fear whatsoever of anyone disagreeing with any real real conviction. Nobody's going to disagree with what I'm about to say with any conviction. And here it is. What are you smiling at?
You're going to say...
He's going to say you're going to go to the bathroom.
Oh, well, isn't that adult? Isn't that adult? Well, you get out of here.
Man, you're messing things up.
Why do I gotta leave?
Why don't you quit with the smiles and
you said you're gonna say with conviction.
It's gonna be something other than what you're thinking. I don't care who the president was in September of 2008. When the word came down, we got a big-ass problem with our banks. They're not lending. They're afraid that they don't have enough money, that if they start circulating this money, there won't be any money left to cover these toxic assets, and we don't know how deep in the hole those things go. It may go down to $500 billion for all we know. Even more. As it turns out, $500 billion is a drop in a bucket, isn't it? But there wasn't a man or a woman alive in the United States of America or anywhere in the world that would have been presidential timber who would have said no to TARP. Not a one. Not one. Starting with Michelle Bachmann. Starting with Sarah Palin. Starting with John McCain. McCain agreed with it. Now, there were some guys that voted against it, but as we have found out, folks, And we found this out over the last year. We found out a lot about how the Congress works, haven't we? Some of these guys will vote a yes or a no so they can look good to their constituents and they won't have to go back home and face a, you know, a pretty tough time getting reelected. Some of these guys are released by their party leadership to vote in a way that will be politically favorable so they can get their asses back back to Washington as soon as they get reelected. But the fact of the matter remains, with all of this tough talk and all this big talk that's been going on about TARP money and about stimulus packages, but especially the TARP, which was the, you know, the recovery program, the emergency, the, I don't know what it stands for, but it's, you know, TARP. That one time I did, now I don't.
I know, I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, you do that, man. The fact of the matter is, there wasn't anybody that was going to vote against it, not a one. So that's where, you know, that's where we stand. And now here we are with all these people. I listened to this woman, Michelle Bachmann. She just...
Yeah, but you got to admit, she's hot.
She ain't hot. She's the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life. Hot.
Are you kidding me, man? I mean, I'm not talking about what you think about anything like that.
She's frightening looking. Troubled Asset Relief Program. I got your troubled asset. All right, in any event, Michelle Bachmann is out there, and she's screaming and yelling about all kinds of crap. You can bet your bottom dollar, Jack, if she were president, she would have signed off on that.
Yeah, you say that, but you don't really know about it. How you know?
Because it's easy to be a congresswoman from upstate Minnesota talking all kinds of crap, not having to really be answerable for anything, and I do mean anything. Where's she from? Stillwater or something like that? That ain't upstate. That's over near Wisconsin. Just imagine. She might have been Wisconsin's problem. In any event, if she were president, she would have voted for it. You name the most conservative guy in Congress, that one clown, that Steve, what's that King, that guy would have voted for it. Who are these people kidding? But now that it's been voted for, now that the stimulus has been voted for, and now that things suck, now it's easy to say it all blows, and when we get in there, we're going to turn the whole thing around. And maybe they're right. Here is Michelle Bachmann. I really got nothing against Tea Party people. I really got nothing against anybody except for this woman. And
that's because she turned you down for a drink.
I'm going to... No, don't do it, man. Kick your ass in a minute. How about that? Here's Representative Michelle Bachmann. Don't grab my shirt.
Yeah, man, you can't kick his ass. He's a retard.
Saved you, bud. Here is Representative Michelle Bachmann rallied the Tea Party protesters in D.C. today.
November! What do you say? Let's take back our country! How many of you think we're going to do it? I know we're going to do it. I know it. It is all about this coming November. We have to take the House, then the Senate, and 2 years from now, Barack Obama is a one-term president.
All right, now we have Bachmann railing against government takeovers under Obama. Listen to her stretching the truth. I mean, stretching the truth. She stretched it all right, man. You could put two of her into the truth she stretched here.
If you want a nutshell of American history for the last 18 months, it's this. The federal government takeover of one private industry after another. They started by taking over the banks, Citibank, Bank of America. Then they bought AIG, the largest insurance company in the United States. They poured about $180 billion down that rat hole. They're still not done. Then they bought Freddie and Fannie. Do you know that the federal government now owns over 50% of all home mortgages in this country today?
What do you say about someone that stands there and lies, but the people that she's talking to are too stupid to know they're being lied to? What do you say?
You just want to get her a drink.
I'm going to belt you. You don't think I won't?
Come on, man.
Owns Bank of America? Has anybody called Bank of America to tell them that? Yeah, they gave them $20 billion. Don't own them. Own Citibank? And then she said in the same speech that the federal government now owns the healthcare industry. Now, these are lies, unless she's so stupid she actually believes what she's saying, which I can't believe that. She strikes me as like the one smart woman in a town full of dummies, you know, and that's how she got elected to Congress. And I guess she only hangs out with the real bozos in Congress, too, because she's, you know, I mean, she couldn't possibly hang out with anybody that's got 5 cents worth of brains. Everywhere she goes after she leaves the halls of Congress, she must be just hanging out with all the other dimwits. Anyway, in D.C., it wasn't the only place the Tea Party rallies occurred. Here is activist John O'Hara speaking at the Chicago Tea Party event, addressing the campaign of some liberals. He's addressing the campaigns of some liberals who may want to try and infiltrate the rallies.
I don't know if you may have heard of some of these groups that want to crash the tea parties.
Oh, my Lord.
They want to show up with some weird signs and make it look like we're not mainstream and give us a bad name.
Yeah, that's too bad.
But I think most people here know, and most people watching at home know, that this is a mainstream movement. This isn't a right or left thing, Republican or Democrat thing. This is an American thing that's about getting our country back on track and our state back on track.
If that's true, and I don't have any doubts that it is true, Mr. O'Hara, I respectfully request, and I think you guys did the right thing. There was a rally that said to some birthers, you can take your birther and you can go and give birth to it, man. Get out of here. We don't want you. So the Tea Party people have started to say to the birthers, why don't you take it and park it up your you-know-what, Orly, you weird ass. Where are you from anyway, man? Talk about Obama not being born here. You weren't, you know what? Even if Obama wasn't born here, he has more right to speak here than you do because I can understand what he's saying. All right. Now, I would say to you, sir, the other thing, you got to get rid of some of these people like Bachman because she's talking about the government owning Citibank. Citibank repaid $20 billion to the government in December of last year. Citibank isn't owned by the government. If anything, Citibank is paying off their loan, the loan they got, which is what it was. They're paying it down, man. Government don't own them. The government gave them some money, but it wasn't the amount of money that the bank itself is absolutely worth. There was no pink slip. But you see, it doesn't matter. And as long as you got people like that who are talking that kind of smack, that kind of garbage, I don't think you cats have got, I don't think you're going to really capture the mainstream. I know there's a whole lot of old white people to dig in. I'm not putting that down. That's all right. But I don't think you're really going to start getting cats like, well, I am old and I am white, but in many ways, I'm young and black, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you look like an old white man, but you talk like a, well, you talk like a medium white man.
Yeah.
What do you mean a medium white man?
Well, you know.
Like, I mean, you're not an old white man, but you're more of a medium area white man. Or you're a medium area black man.
Yeah, that's what I want to say.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm sorry. You don't talk like an old white man, but you talk like a medium area black man.
We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
Phil. All right. Mitt Romney and Sarah Palin in 2012. That's not going to happen, although a guy with the Boston Herald devoted a bunch of time to it. It ain't going to happen there, Charlie. Or, excuse me, Edward and Hillary and Jessica, the three people who wrote the article. Conservative superstar Sarah Palin opened the door yesterday to joining forces with Mitt Romney. I bet you he's real excited about that, Governor. Not. Not at all. A hot ticket that has some Republicans licking their chops. Look, there's only one thing dumber than a Democrat, and that's a Republican. And they're both running neck and neck. They're both running neck and neck. But right now, Republicans are dumber, and I'll tell you why. When Sarah Palin was chosen as the running mate for John McCain, on this show, we said it. It was in August of 2008. We said that John McCain has just waved the white flag of surrender, and we were right. and all of these people that were pulling themselves and rubbing themselves against trees and saying, oh, my goodness, that's just the greatest thing. And all of these cats, you know, like Beck and O'Reilly and Hannity and all these conservatives thought, yes, this is it. Hugh Hewitt, all these heavy hitters, right? All these brain surgeons. Yeah, this is the move. This is the move. That chick got him defeated. I don't care. All, there's all kinds of people that love Sarah Palin. And if you say anything against her, and I don't think there's anything wrong with the woman other than her politics. I don't mind that she's a woman. I don't mind that she's whatever she is. I don't mind that she was governor. I don't mind that she hunts moose. It's all fine with me. I just don't like her politics. I don't like her stand on a lot of things. I don't like her solutions to a lot of problems. But that's not even the point. The point is, I could see that that woman was wrong for that ticket. He wasn't going to get elected with her on it. Now, the people that like Sarah Palin blame John McCain. They haven't got a clue. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about today any more than they knew what they were talking about back in August when they said, oh, this is a fantastic move. Because they believe that conservatives are the ones that are going to get a president elected, and no, they ain't. Not until they start shedding the following things. For instance, you get rid of all the fringies like the birthers. You get rid of all the fringies like Obama's a commie. You get rid of all of the weird asses like Bachman who says that the government now owns Citibank and that the government owns 51% of all private property. In other words, all of these fringe weird asses that are not into ideas so much as they're into rhetoric. And these are the people that are harming, almost irretrievably harming the conservative movement in this country. She's not even intelligentsia. I mean, don't you want to have an intellectual core to your movement? Where are your William F. Buckleys? Where are your thinkers? You know, even the ones that are really, really smart, like Ann Coulter, all she does is play it for laughs because she knows that's the only way she thinks that's the only way she's going to get through to people. So she plays it for laughs. She calls people quote unquote fag. And she's yakking at the Canadians like they're important. Like anybody cares what they think. Right? But hey, you know, it's something to take our mind off of really having to think about stuff. The conservatives are hurting themselves every day by relying on the brain dead like the Bachmans of the world and the near brain dead like the Palins. And you don't have to agree with me. You don't have to. You may think I'm the biggest scumbag in the world, but you listen to other conservatives. Now they're telling me the Republicans are really digging the fact that Palin and Mitt Romney might run together. Romney wouldn't have her as a running mate, man. He'd rather die of cancer first. Sounds pretty good, Palin declared at yesterday's Tea Party Express rally on the Common when asked about pairing up with the former Bay State governor, giving the idea a big thumbs up as she left the stage after her headline speech. Last night, as Palin stopped for cannoli at Mike's Pastry in the North End, she said she was serious about the idea. I have a lot of respect for Mitt. As if, you know, her giving it the thumbs up paves the way for it to happen. There's one small problem. What's Mitt think about it? Mitt Romney respects Sarah Palin and he appreciates the contribution she makes to the party, said Romney's spokesman Eric Fernstrom, but his immediate focus is on helping Republicans win back the Congress in 2010. That's him saying, basically, don't bother me. Now, when Palin says a running mate, does she really want to run for vice president again? I thought she wanted to run for president. I'm telling you right now, folks, if you just stop and listen to me, okay? Number one. She ran for vice president with John McCain. Didn't happen. She was putting out feelers for a presidential run in 2012, back when she left the governorship of Alaska. And people told her, it ain't going to happen. I'm pretty sure that's what they told her behind the scenes. It isn't going to happen. So now she's going back to the idea of being a vice presidential candidate. I think this is a very confused person. I don't even know that she knows what it is she wants to do because I don't think she's all that confident. I think she has the big picture, but she ain't got the small picture. When she talks about Ronald Reagan, when she was talking, giving that interview, said, well, you know, Reagan, there you go. That's a guy that I really like. Oh, okay, fine. Well, that just means basically you haven't really thought all that hard about it, have you? Some veteran political observers were intrigued by the notion of the two telegenic former GOP governors on the same ticket, but none of them could have any 5 cents worth of brains. Doug Lorenz, a California-based GOP consultant. They both have a lot they can say. They can offer a campaign. Romney has experience. Palin's got the ability to get people motivated. Well, I got news for you, man. If ever I saw disinformation, this is it. There's no way in hell Republicans are serious about Romney and Palin. And there's a very good reason, because they're not going to, it's not electable. She's a drag on any ticket. I'm serious. On a national ticket, she's a drag on it. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
Don't forget our website, PhilHendryShow.com. That's PhilHendryShow.com, where you can watch every night the reality show wrapped around a radio show. You can watch it, you can hear it, and you can just, then you can be glad you got the life that you got. 877-876-PHIL. Ben Roethlisberger is the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and apparently he got into a situation. See, I don't follow these anymore. I know a lot of people do, but you understand that being a football fan of many years, I remember Mossy Cade. You know, that sounds like a book, doesn't it? But it's actually, it's a statement from Phil. I remember Mossy Cade. He was a Green Bay Packer. He was a defensive back. He was convicted of raping a woman. And there are other such sordid stories in the annals, or the anals, if you will, of the National Football League. So when another one comes down the pike, I don't really give a sweet Jesus one way or the other. You know what I mean? And this jazz about how, well, it's a microcosm of society. No, not quite, man. I think if you look at the per capita, I think that professional athletes have a higher percentage of felonious criminal behavior than the average human being. The average cross-section of society, I should say. Ben Roethlisberger, his accuser, told police that the star Pittsburgh Steeler forced her to have sex in the bathroom of a Milledgeville nightclub. In the handwritten statement, the 20-year-old Georgia College and State University student states a bodyguard took her by the arm and led her to the hallway and put her on a stool. The bodyguard left, and Roethlisberger walked up and pushed, quote-unquote, his penis, end quote, from his pants. She said this was not okay, and she went to a bathroom where Roethlisberger pursued her and forced her to have sex. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation, and this is in Georgia, the story's in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation released a 500-page document detailing the investigation on Thursday. According to the document, the woman's friend, another student at Georgia College and State University, told investigators that her friend was dragged by a bodyguard to the back room in Capitol, which is a local nightclub. She was extremely intoxicated and not aware of what was happening. He had sex with me, and meanwhile, his bodyguards told my friends that they couldn't pass them to get to me. In any event, they're not going to charge the guy because, as you're going to hear from the prosecuting attorney here, they do not have, beyond a reasonable doubt, evidence that this punk, this Roethlisberger of the Pittsburgh Steelers actually committed a crime. Here is the circuit district attorney, Fred Bright, telling reporters Monday that allegations against Roethlisberger can't be established.
Sexual allegation against Mr. Roethlisberger cannot be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. Therefore, there will be no arrest made, nor criminal prosecution.
All right, Mr. Roethlisberger. That's great. You see, Mr. Roethlisberger, Ben, I think is your name, right? And you're a quarterback? Well, that's great. You know, and I follow the Steelers. I think they're great. But you see, if that was my daughter, I don't care whether the DA isn't going to prosecute. I don't care how many bodyguards you got. I'm not threatening you with anything more than a baseball bat to those very, very valuable knees of yours. And you don't think I can do it? You don't think I can get close enough? My daughter? My wife? Let me tell you something, Charlie. You play football as a quarterback if you're good enough, and I got news for you and all of your fans. You ain't good enough. If you're good enough as a quarterback, you play about 20 years. After that, nobody gives a damn what happens to you. You can die the next day for all they care. You play quarterback for 20 years with Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're done, and they have a new great phenom, you can walk off a cliff the next day. No one cares. And that's when all of that, what goes around, comes around, starts happening. Now, the circuit attorney, you listen to this clown, Fred Bright. I say clown, I don't mean any disrespect, sir, but, you know, if you haven't got a case, you haven't got a case, all right? And you're wasting the taxpayers' time with your inept investigation. Sergeant Jerry Blash, the only person to interview Roethlisberger, resigned on Wednesday, according to Channel 2 in Atlanta, WSB Television. Milledgeville Police Department Chief Woodrow Blue confirmed Monday that Blash had made derogatory comments to Roethlisberger about the accuser less than an hour after the alleged sexual assault was reported. See, a lot of these football fans, and they can be cops, they think it's really cool talking to their big, favorite star, just like this cop. On Thursday, Roethlisberger told Steeler President Art Rooney II that he would accept disciplinary action. However, the team is going to wait and coordinate that punishment with the NFL. Roethlisberger met with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell on Tuesday. The NFL and the Steelers probably won't settle on any punishment until after next week's three-day draft. According to Rooney, he said, "I made it clear to Ben that his conduct in this incident did not live up to our standards. Ben has indicated to us he's willing to accept those consequences." Well, you know Roger Goodell, he threw Pac-Man out. He told Michael Vick, "You can rot in a jail cell for all we care." Now, this cat, this Roethlisberger, you understand that this is not about whether the guy was convicted of a crime. It's got nothing to do with it. The National Football League has a business that they got to run. And the business that they have to run is much like the business that you have to run. So perception is everything, right? Just like in the radio business. The radio business. They fire people left and right over perception. They fire people left and right even if they think maybe the guy committed a crime. And that's the way it goes. That's what's going to happen to Roethlisberger. I don't know whether or not this guy is going to be booted out of the league or suspended or taken off the roster. I don't know if that's going to happen, but Goodell is not the kind of guy that screws around. He's talked about the image of the league, and he's talked about cleaning it up so that they don't start looking like the NBA or Major League Baseball. So I suspect that it's going to be ugly, man. It just doesn't sound like it's going to be very pleasant for this dumbass Roethlisberger. Here is Bright defending his choice not to file charges. He wants people to realize that, you know, it ain't that he ain't that bright.
"We are not condoning Mr. Roethlisberger's actions that night. But we do not prosecute morals. We prosecute crimes. You should have no question that who Mr. Roethlisberger is made no difference. If he was Joe Q Citizen that was poor and had the local public defender, or no lawyer at all, the result would be the same. We have been intent on ensuring that he, like every defendant in our courts, and she, like every victim we serve, receives the benefit of a complete investigation and a fair evaluation."
So that's the end of that. So good luck, man. 877-876. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876. Phil, we'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Phil, 877-876-PHIL. You can go to our website, philhenryshow.com, for our live streaming video and audio of the show. And check out the download of the show tomorrow morning, and you can see our five-day archive of the show. Larry King, you know, we were talking about Larry King last night?
Yeah.
Anyway, Larry King...
He had sex with his sister.
Yeah.
He didn't have sex with his sister.
No, of his wife's sister.
Yeah.
He had sex with his wife's sister. which sounds pretty sordid. I don't know if it's true or not. And I hope it isn't true. I don't wish the worst. Now, one of the things about Larry King is that he didn't have, according to this story in the New York Daily News, and you don't know what's true or not, you know.
Why wouldn't it be true?
Because it may not be true, because these guys sometimes make crap up.
Yeah, but if they did, they're going to sue. Everybody know that.
No, they're not going to sue.
Why not?
Because it would take more money and more time and more stress and more pain and more hell on wheels than these guys are willing to go through. You can sue. If Larry King filed a lawsuit, if any of these celebrities filed lawsuits every day that they were entitled to file because of false claims, libel, slander, what have you, they wouldn't stop filing lawsuits. Every day they'll find something in the newspaper that is a vicious lie or an attempt at libel or slander. Okay, so it's going to happen. Now, Larry King may have to hand over some princely sums to his soon-to-be ex-wife, because here's the latest now. Apparently, he didn't have a prenuptial agreement when he wed Sean Southwick 13 years ago, so TMZ is naturally saying that she's going to stick a knife in him, turn it, and break it off.
Oh, so what about a prenuptial mean? She won't get any money?
Yeah, no, if she had a prenuptial, what?
No, man. It means if there is no prenuptial, it means generally those prenuptials, when they're talking about Larry King, generally a prenuptial means that the guy who's got the bread protects himself.
Oh.
And if he didn't have one, he ain't protected. King's net worth is an estimated $144 million. He's halfway through a four-year, $56 million contract with CNN to host its hour-long evening interview program, Larry King Dead. Under California divorce law, Southwick is entitled to half of his earnings. Since when does he live here?
Yeah, he lives here, but he does his show in Washington, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how that's possible.
Well, he fly back for that.
You mean he lives here on a weekend?
No, he lives here and flies back every day. Well,
how is he going to do that?
I don't know.
He could do it when he had a private jet.
He ain't going to live here and fly back every day. You guys crazy?
Why not?
Because it's 5 freaking hours flying from L.A. to Washington or wherever it is he does the show.
Probably no, from Atlanta.
Well, it's the same thing, man. Atlanta's 5 hours away by plane. I don't know. I guess he's doing it here. Yeah, he must be doing it here because he's always got Joe Jackson on, and Joe Jackson ain't flying back to Washington, D.C. every 5 seconds to go on Larry King Dead. King has been married 7 times, and this will be his 8th divorce. We did the math. Thank you, Daily News. You're welcome. No, he's been married 7 times, so naturally this would be his 8th divorce. Right? 1, 2, 3. No, it would be his 7th divorce.
Why?
You married 1 time, you get divorced from her. That's 1 divorce. One divorce for each marriage.
No, man. It'd going to be the 8th divorce.
Married 7 times. This is his 8th divorce. He married his 3rd wife, former Playboy bunny Aileen Akins, twice. All right. There you go.
Yeah.
The two were married in 1961, but they split up in 1963. They reunited in 1967, but they divorced again in 1972, just before Larry went to jail. No, it doesn't say that. The talk show anchor and his wife, Sean Southwick, age 50, both filed for divorce on Wednesday, citing irreconcilable differences. Sources of the pair fought bitterly for years over her belief that King was sleeping with Sean's younger sister, Shannon Engelman, age 46.
Man, now that's robbing a cradle.
Yeah, that's...
You'll be going down a cradle on that one, King.
Man, 46. What an infant. That means you were 30 when she was born, King, you dirtbag. The way younger sister of Ms. Southwick, Shannon Engelman, 46. King spent $1 million on Engelman and lavished her with gifts, including a $160,000 car, sparking Southwick's ire, according to Radar Online, which lies regularly. But Engelman, a model and a voiceover actress, denied any romance. It's just ludicrous, she said. Larry's been a good friend and he's been like a father to me. Fathers that sleep with their daughters. Ha ha, she said, as she whirled, got into her sports car, $160,000 worth, and zoomed off down the road. No, she didn't really say that, but, you know.
Might as well.
She said, there's a lot of other things wrong in her sister's marriage, and all of a sudden it's my fault? Now, this is just crazy. Why that bitch hasn't liked me for years, on account of I'm younger than her, she said. Saying that after she stopped her car, backed up, and told the reporters that one final thing, and then took off again. Radar Online and the National Enquirer both reported that Southwick has carried on a torrid year-long affair with her kid's baseball coach. She also denied that. They also say that she's carried on a torrid one-year affair with Sean Hannity and a torrid one-year affair with her kid's hockey coach. She also carried on a torrid one-year affair with a librarian and a kid that pumps gas over there at Sunoco and a torrid one-year affair with, I don't know, Lou Dobbs. Moving on. So, in other words, you guys don't know what you're talking about, do you?
I got to call them up, man, because I didn't think they had that right. You know what I'm saying?
Don't have it right. If she's standing there saying, oh, it's a bunch of horse dung, and then they're saying that she had a torrid one-year affair with a hockey coach or whatever the hell it was.
Baseball coach.
All right, a baseball coach. It sounds to me like they're fishing, man. They're throwing a big net out there, and they're hoping maybe, just maybe, they get something other than sardines. Now, that's the end of that. Okay, so that's the Larry King story. Now, why are we interested in that story? Because Larry is, in my opinion, one of the all-time greats. Honest to God, when he did his overnight talk show, his overnight news talk, that was a great show.
I don't remember hearing any of it, but people said it was pretty good.
It was a great show. And then he had it on TV for a while, man. You could watch it on C-SPAN, you know, the Larry King overnight talk show. I remember watching it when he was doing his overnight radio show. And then, and I think it was right as he signed with CNN around 1984, he signed on with CNN. And then all of a sudden, the nighttime radio show became an afternoon show. And it went to hell in a handcart. Just nobody wanted to hear it. Nobody wanted to listen to it. It just wasn't an afternoon drive show. One of the great things about Larry King's overnight show is he's got that set of pipes, you know.
Well, what about the time that he was high on narcotics?
Yeah.
Oh, get out of here.
No. I heard that he, some kind of a drug-infused thing.
No, it wasn't narcotics. It probably was something like sleeping pills.
Well, I heard the same thing he heard, and he's all, like, drunk or something.
No, I know the tape you're talking about. He was talking to that one caller?
Yeah, the guy goes, hey, Larry, you want to find out about, I forget what you're saying.
Well, the guy called in asking a question that had nothing to do with what Larry King was talking about. And then Larry said, he started rambling like he was stoned. You're right. But I don't, it's not, probably was sleeping pills. Maybe he was drunk. Maybe he was tired. Although that tired thing, that don't exactly, you know. I love it when they say, well, you know, he was very fatigued. Oh, get out of here, fatigued, man. Fatigue doesn't mean that your tongue suddenly is the size of your head. Fatigue does not mean that suddenly your left side is now your right side and your motor sensory skills, everything is gone. Fatigue means you're tired, you know, but you still know that you live on the planet Earth and you know what your name is. But he did sound like he'd been on some kind of kick. But nonetheless, I don't want to get into that. The guy was great, man. He was great. And then when he did his TV interviews, it was fantastic. Now, you heard the people last night. Larry King's numbers are down. His ratings are down. He makes a lot of bread. He makes a hell of a lot of bread, obviously, that contract. So a fair guess is the following. His contract's not going to be renewed. He better know that, I hope. And not having a prenup, that cat's out of his mind, man. Now, Larry King ran afoul of the law back in Miami, back in the day, over some checks. I don't know what it's about. I don't even want to talk about it, you know.
Well, did he go to jail?
I don't want to talk about it, bud, okay?
Why not?
Because I don't want to talk about it. I don't know the specifics. I don't want to make it worse than it is. But he ran afoul of the law. You can look at his freaking mugshot.
What's a mugshot?
I mean mugshot.
Mugshot.
Like a picture of the toilet.
You know something, man? I don't even know why you're here. I'm going to slap you across the... Hold on, man. I'm going to slap him across the face. Mugshot, okay?
Yeah.
He was picked up for something, kiting a check. I don't know what the hell it was, okay? So the guy's, you know, he's had some problems. Now, I don't know what he's like when it comes to money. If you make enough bread, man, it doesn't make any difference what you're like when it comes to money. You've always got money. You're always making a big fat check, and the money's always going into the bank or it's going to somebody, you know, like a business manager or someone. I don't know who handles Larry King's money, and I don't know whether the guy's all that smart. I'll tell you this much, though. If this cat likes to gamble, if Larry King was big on horse racing, if he loved the ponies, and he did... If he liked that kind of thing, there's nothing that says he stopped because he got rich. All it means is he can keep on betting, and he doesn't have to kite checks, and he doesn't have to do this, that, or something else, because he's got enough money. Now, when this deal runs out, Larry, if you're listening...
Yeah, you better listen to Phil Henry. He knows all about kiting.
Shut up, kiting. When this deal runs out, Larry, make sure you got all of your I's dotted and your T's crossed, Jack, and make sure that this chick, you know, you might as well get rid of her now. Pardon me for putting it that way, because your deal, you're halfway through a big deal. Get rid of her now, man. You got to hold on to the other half of that thing, and you might as well write another book, too. And while we're on this subject, you might as well get the movie rights going for your life, because you know that you're on your way out. They're going to want to have a big extravaganza. I don't know who's going to play, and I don't care. Probably Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, he looked great.
Sell the movie rights to your life now, Larry. Now, while the selling's good. And I suggest that once you do that, your Twilight years will be, well, sexier than Twilight, man. All right, we'll be back. Bobby Dooley joins us here in a few minutes on the world-famous Phil Henry Show on Kick-Ass 2. The sequel.
Phil Henry.